A monitor brings you Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Four of America's top news reporters are ready for this unrehearsed news conference. Here's the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
Welcome once again to Meet the Press. Our guest is the Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Ezra Benson. He has been called the most controversial and the most durable member of President Eisenhower's cabinet. Mr. Eisenhower, in his annual message to Congress, called the present farm laws out of date, ineffective, and expensive. Secretary Benson will be a central figure in the battle now shaping up in Congress over new farm legislation. He is facing strong opposition in both parties to his proposals for reducing government price supports and giving the farmer more freedom in his operations. Secretary Benson is one of the two original members of the Eisenhower cabinet still in office. Before becoming Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Benson had experience as a farm operator and as an official of several farm organizations. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Secretary Benson, are Richard Harkness of NBC News, William Blair of the New York Times, Patricia Wiggins of United Press International, and Lawrence E. Spivak, our regular member of the Meet the Press panel. Now, Mr. Secretary, if you're ready, we'll start the questions with Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Secretary, an important sentence in the 1952 Republican platform said this, and I quote, "The Republican Party will create conditions providing for farm prosperity and stability." Do you think the Republican administration has made good on that promise?
Yes, I do, to a very large extent. As far as we can within the limitations, we haven't got the legislation we asked for, but where we have got legislation, I think that goal has been achieved.
Now, your critics insist that the 7 years of your administration of the Agricultural Department have resulted in failure, since the farmer's income has reached a 19-year low and our surpluses are at an all-time high. Now, how do you answer that, sir?
Well, in the first place, Mr. Spivak, four-fifths of our agriculture today is free of controls and is in fairly good balance and doing fairly well. It's the one-fifth where we have attempts by government to fix prices, to control production, that we're in difficulty. And it's in that area where we have the buildup of surpluses, because we brought our production into government warehouses instead of permitting that production to move into consumption as it should do.
Well, now, Mr. Secretary, you say you're in difficulty in the one-fifth, but isn't it true that there are no price supports for eggs and the egg farmers are in real serious difficulty?
We produce 250 commodities commercially in this country. There are only 21 of those supported, and only 16 are mandatory by action of Congress. The great poultry industry, of course, is a free industry. It has insisted on staying free of government price supports or government controls, and I think wisely so. Of course, it has its good years and its bad years. That's true in all segments of a free economy. And we're helping where we can. Of course, we step in to help remove market gluts and to make purchases of dried eggs and other commodities for school lunches and outlets we have. But generally speaking, over the years, the poultry industry has made good progress and has made reasonable profit.
Mr. Secretary, I had a telegram from a group of egg farmers in New Jersey who say they're going into bankruptcy at a rapid rate, that it costs them about 38 cents to produce a dozen eggs, and they only get about 28 cents for it, that they're paying 22 cents of a dozen for high-price-supported feed alone, that is without any work or anything else, simply for the feed. Now, would you say that they're in good shape?
No, I would not. And, of course, many farmers face very great difficulties because of this cost-price squeeze. Their costs are very high. As a matter of fact, farm costs increased over 100% between 1939 and 1952. They've increased 4% since 1952. It's very unjust, I think, for the poultryman to have to buy feed that's highly supported, above market competitive prices, and then sell their own products on a free market. Well, they have reason to complain.
Now, these egg farmers are operating in a free market. which is what you would like to see for most farmers. Now, how are they going to solve their problem?
The big thing that would help them would be to get price supports on the feeds that they buy in line with market prices. And then they would be more competitive, and their feeds would be at a more normal level, a lower level. That's particularly true if they're trying to use wheat in their feed, because wheat is priced by government mandate, as you know.
Ms. Wiggins.
Mr. Secretary, Senator Aiken met last week with Vice President Nixon and described the Vice President's views on farm matters as a little left, I think he said, of the administration. Do you feel as confident of the Vice President's support of your policies as you are of the President's support?
Mr. Nixon, of course, has been a very important part of the Eisenhower administration. He has participated in the development of the policies of the administration and has spoken out in support of them. And I have no reason to believe that he's not in sympathy with what we're trying to do.
You think he would carry out what you've begun?
I would think so, because it, after all, there have been many of us had a part in the development of this program. And then the committee appointed by the National Republican Committee, commonly known as the Percy Committee, in their report, they went right down the line in support of what the President and what I have been advocating over the years.
Mr. Blair.
To follow up Ms. Wiggins' question, Mr. Secretary, do you expect the Vice President to campaign in the forthcoming presidential campaign on your program or on the administration's program?
Well, Mr. Blair, I assume that the Vice President will campaign on every phase of the administration's program, including the farm policy which the administration has been advocating.
Well, now, Mr. Nixon has indicated at various times that he can't find another answer, but at the same time, he has told various people on the Hill, as you probably are aware, that he thought perhaps that you had been a liability to the party. Has he ever told you that?
No, he has not.
Are your relations with him friendly and
yes, they've always been friendly and are friendly today.
And he has told you, has he, that he thinks you're right?
Well, I'm not attempting to quote the Vice President, but we've had discussions of the farm policy. I've had no indication of his disapproval of it. Again, I say he's been a part of the administration which has developed and tried to carry forward that policy. If there is a better policy, I'd like to know what it is. I'm sure the Vice President feels the same way.
Mr. Harkness.
Well, Mr. Secretary, if Mr. Nixon is the nominee, which seems pretty safe guess at this stage, if he advocates a farm program different than yours, would you remain in the cabinet while he's campaigning against your farm policy, in effect?
Well, Mr. Harkness, I have no other plan than to continue in my present office until the President has retired, till he retires. I, of course, would be very glad to see someone come up with an improvement over the present program we're advocating. It's been developed in a bipartisan fashion by a bipartisan commission in large measure. And I think it's sound, and I believe the administration generally feels the same way.
Mr. Secretary, a change in subject here,
yes,
if you please. Why have you ordered suspension of the grading of lamb and mutton, which many consumer groups consider a protection of the consumer and buyer?
Mr. Harkness, may I say first that I'm in favor of the grading of farm products generally. Lamb grading, of course, is voluntary.
Yes.
It's paid for by the processors who use it.
Yes.
And about a third of our lamb has been graded. However, we had objections from the lamb producers and from the feeders to our past system of grading, objection to the criteria, and also objection to the grading itself.
You're talking about the fat there, then?
Yes, that's part of it. And we thought it would be wise to suspend temporarily and to permit time to elapse to see if the industry couldn't get together on a new set of criteria which would be more acceptable to the industry generally.
It's been charged, and I'd like your reaction to it. It's been alleged that this is really a disguised move to go ahead now and eliminate federal grading of beef.
That is not true, Mr. Harkness. There's no intention to eliminate the federal grading of beef. Only lamb is involved here, and the meat inspection is not involved in the lamb grading. The meat inspection will go forward.
Mr. Blair?
Speaking of consumers, as Mr. Harkness was, your main effort in this session of Congress will be on wheat to get a lower price support, remove acreage or all federal controls on production to attempt to get a better balance. Well, now, it is said that repeatedly by so-called agricultural experts that consumers will get a break if you lower price supports. And yet the history of the last few years has been, take wheat for example, has been that in a bushel, as a bushel of wheat goes down, that is the price support goes down, the consumers don't seem to be getting a better break. In fact, on a pound loaf of bread, the farmer's take is now down from 3 cents a bushel to 2.5 cents a bushel, and yet the price of bread keeps going up. Now, what reasoning is this that shows that the consumers are getting a break?
Of course, the amount of wheat in the loaf and the cost of the wheat is a relatively small part of the total cost of the loaf. Consumers will get a break, however, if we get our supports on wheat adjusted more nearly in line with market levels. In the first place, the storage alone of these huge surpluses in government warehouses is running $1.25 million a day, just for storage and interest and handling. So that involves a lot of taxes. They'll get some help there, and then there will be some adjustment in the raw product going into the various consumer goods.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Yes. Secretary, in a recent statement in the New York Herald Tribune, you said that you were quoted as saying that Vice President Nixon helped to develop the administration's farm program. Now, what does that mean, that he actively took part in the development of your farm program, or simply that he didn't oppose it?
Well, there have been many, many discussions, of course. We have discussions with the legislative leaders. We have discussion with the cabinet. When we're developing and proposing modifications of our farm policy and our farm program, and of course, Vice President Nixon is a prominent part of both of those meetings, both in the cabinet and with the legislative leaders.
Well, I mean, did he just not oppose it, or did he take an active part in planning it with you?
Generally speaking, the Vice President takes an active part in the discussions, and I would consider him a part of the development of the program.
Well, would you feel then that he is committed to campaigning for your program since he took an active part in the development of the program?
I would expect he would support the program in the campaign. Of course, we're all looking for improvements in it. We have modified our recommendations somewhat last year from the year before. We're constantly looking for improvements, and I'm sure the Vice President is looking for improvements also.
And these continuing stories that have been rumors, at least, that have been published from time to time, that Mr. Nixon feels that you are a handicap to the Republican Party and that he would like you out of the cabinet, are without basis in your judgment.
So far as I know, they're nothing more than rumors.
Mr. Secretary, back to something else. There have been stories to the effect that you have some agricultural proposals for this coming Congress, looking towards a more or less permanent solution of our farm problem. Is that true?
Well, we expect that there will be recommendations go to the Congress. We have made recommendations practically every year. Sometimes they're largely a reaffirmation of recommendations made earlier. But I assume there will be some transmission of recommendations to the Congress this session.
Will there be anything new, do you expect, in these new recommendations?
We haven't got all of our recommendations finalized as yet, but I think they'll be very much along the same line as we have recommended in the past. They will move, the recommendations would move toward greater freedom, greater use of price in helping to direct production and consumption, and less government controls, and the elimination of government price fixing.
Well, is this a continuation of the old program which you started in 54, or will there be something new?
The objectives are very much the same. The methods may vary a little.
Can you give us any idea about anything major that you're going to propose?
Well, of course, our major problem, as Mr. Blair has indicated, is wheat. It's the one that I hope the Congress will give first attention to in the agricultural field. And our recommendations will no doubt have to do with wheat as well as with other commodities. Tobacco, for example, is in difficulty. We're losing markets abroad because we're pricing our commodity out of the market. And we're in difficulty with some of our markets at home. We need some legislation on peanuts, another basic crop. These recommendations we've made before, we'll no doubt repeat them again.
Mr. Secretary, you mentioned a moment ago the tremendously high cost of storing these surpluses. Is there nothing that can be done about these high profits that are being made by the companies engaging in this business?
As a matter of fact, I think when we go into it carefully, we'll find that there are no great excessive profits. Of course, the costs are high. We all realize that. And I can sympathize with those people who are just waking up to the fact that it's rather tragic the way we permitted these surpluses to accumulate at great cost to the taxpayer. Well, but our records show that the costs have actually increased since 1952, only 12%, or about 2.5 cents per bushel per year.
Some of the testimony before the Senate committee indicated profits as high as 100%. Is that incorrect?
Well, of course, the hearings are not over. You've heard one side. I presume the grain trade will be given an opportunity to be heard, and I presume the department will also.
Miss Wiggins.
Mr. Secretary, one of the men testifying before the Symington subcommittee was a warehouseman, and he testified to getting 167% profits on cost. Don't you think that those are excessive profits on a government contract?
I would say 167% is excessive on any kind of a contract, Miss Wiggins. But of course, that may be one isolated incident. I don't know. But I think we must keep in mind that we've had to encourage the private building of storage facilities, and at the same time, we could not give any assurance that these facilities were going to be filled over a period of years. They all look upon this scandalous wheat situation as a temporary situation. So they've been hesitant to go into the storage business, and it has taken some inducement to get them to build storage. We built some government storage, almost a billion bushel capacity. We've encouraged building of storage on the farms. Many people say, well, government storage is cheaper than private storage. But of course, they usually don't figure taxes in because the government pays no taxes, and oftentimes there are other costs that are not figured in. If they were all figured in, the costs would be much the same, I think, as private costs.
Do you think it would be a good idea for the Agriculture Department to negotiate privately with individual warehousemen, as the Defense Department does on its contracts, rather than to negotiate with the grain industry as a whole?
Well, Ms. Wiggins, we have negotiated and reappraised our contracts with the grain industry from time to time. I think our last adjustment was in 1956. We have a study underway now, which will be used as a basis for our renegotiation later this year.
Mr. Harkness.
Mr. Secretary, if we've cleaned up the surplus question, you've talked and mentioned...
I wish we had, Mr. Harkness, fully.
Well, I meant storage. Let's go to this surplus question. You talk about the surplus of corn and wheat and the possibility of wheat now becoming a feed grain. Well, isn't the net result of that that if you use wheat as a feed grain, that is then comes meat, milk, poultry, eggs? Haven't you, in effect, transferred your storage from wheat, which can be stored, into a problem of perishable surpluses?
Well, I think we should keep in mind, first of all, that all of these acres are planted. The acres taken out of wheat are planted to sorghum grains, to oats, to barley, or some other feed or forage crop. The effect of our wheat program has been to try and cut back production in the old traditional efficient wheat growing areas And because of high artificial prices, we've stimulated production of wheat in other parts of the country. We actually have 152,000 new wheat growers in the last 3 years because of government artificial pricing. As a matter of fact, we're going to need more livestock and livestock products in the years ahead. Our population's increasing, 3 million a year. Our diets are going more to protein foods. And so there's room for some expansion in livestock.
Yes,
and we used to feed from 100 to 200 million bushels of wheat a year, and that market's been pretty well dried up. And most of that feed went to areas outside the Corn Belt.
Mr. Blair.
Turning to still another agricultural subject, how are you getting along with Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare Fleming?
Mr. Blair, we have a good relationship with Mr. Fleming. I have a good relationship, I believe, with all members of the cabinet.
Did you have a meeting this week with Secretary Fleming?
Yes, we had some discussions this week. I don't know if it was a formal meeting, but a conference with Mr. Fleming and also with some people at the White House.
Did it go over the question of legislation on the control of the pesticides and other agricultural chemicals that are causing the trouble?
Not to any great extent. Of course, I feel personally that we have the cleanest, the safest, and the best food supply that you can find anywhere in the world. And of course, we have a responsibility in the Department of Agriculture, which we're trying to carry out under the mandate from Congress.
Would you recommend, Mr. Secretary, the Department of Agriculture being given the authority to crack down on any farmer who misuses an agricultural chemical such as was shown in the case of cranberries?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Blair. We have the responsibility, of course, of determining whether a chemical is safe if the farmer follows the directions which we prescribe and which must be on the label. Certainly there should be, it would seem to me, some penalty for a person who deliberately refuses to follow the instructions. Of course, he is subject to action by the Pure Food and Drug Administration.
But, Mr. Secretary, isn't this after the fact? After he has misapplied a chemical and the food is grown and then it shows up in the market and Food and Drug happens to find it, this is pretty close to the public stomach. Wouldn't it be better to stop it before it was grown or while it was being grown rather than having the producer go through all the trouble, such as cranberries did, to get it on the market?
It may be better if it could be determined in advance. Of course, as you know, in our meat inspection work, we remove rather large quantities of meat from the market daily. Usually there isn't much said about it, but it's done quietly, and it's done to protect the health of our people. We have the authority to do it, and we act.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Secretary, I'd like to clear one thing up. There have been some rumors that the President was going to send a special message to Congress on agriculture. Is that now certain?
No, it is not certain that he will, whether or not he will send a special message. There will be a transmission of legislation, whether it'll be by special message or by communication with the appropriate officials in the two houses has not been finally determined.
Do you think it would be helpful if you did get a special message?
I'm not sure. He sent a special message last year. Certainly there's a need for some transmission of recommendations, at least emphasis, and probably some draft language.
There will be specific legislation then coming out of your department.
There will be something go forward, yes, specifically.
Mr. Secretary, I'd like to ask you this. What do you think would happen if the government decided to end all subsidies within a year or two and announced it right off? Do you think the farmer would be in serious trouble as a result?
I think that would be unfortunate if the government should do that, and certainly if the government contemplated anything of that sort, it ought to apply to other industries and not only agriculture, because farmers are not the only ones that receive subsidies. And many of the things that are labeled as subsidies for farmers are not subsidies to farmers at all. Much of the large budget we have in the Department of Agriculture benefits all consumers. I mentioned meat inspection is one. We're charged with it, but every consumer benefits from it.
Ms. Wiggins.
Mr. Secretary, if I could slip back for a minute to the grain storage hearings.
Yes.
Do you think that they're politically inspired by Senator Symington and some of the Democrats?
Well, that could be possible in 1960. I hope that they're approaching this objectively in an effort to find out exactly what the facts are. We have no facts to hide, I assure you, in the Department of Agriculture. We feel we've done a good job under very difficult circumstances. It's just unfortunate that we have this tremendous storage problem because of unsound programs which we recommended be changed year after year.
Mr. Harkness.
Mr. Secretary, talking about political inspiration, I've heard reports that President Eisenhower may go on radio and television with a farm speech to the country to point up the Republican farm position in this campaign year.
I would hope the president would make an appeal to people generally on this very important question of surpluses, which is primarily wheat, as I mentioned. I think there's a need for it. Certainly the public generally are interested, deeply interested, because they're paying the cost. And that may help to focus attention on the seriousness of this problem, because it's becoming increasingly serious year after year and must be solved and can only be solved by the Congress.
Mr. Secretary, I think on that note I'll have to call a halt to the proceedings. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I see that our time is up.
Monitor's thanks to Secretary of Agriculture Ezra Taft Benson and the members of the Meet the Press panel for a stimulating and enlightening half hour.